Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and at first there were hopes that Typhoon Haiyan's sheer size and speed might have spared the Philippines the worst as it moved so quickly across the islands. But later reports are proving that wrong. It is now feared that the almost 200-mile-per-hour winds and the 13-foot storm surge that followed the Haiyan may have killed up to 10,000 people, maybe even more. CARE International is one of the relief organizations trying to respond, and I'm joined now by Holly Solberg, CARE's Director of Emergencies. Holly, thanks for coming on, and I'm sure what is a busy time for you there. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, Brian.
And listeners, we also want to hear from any of you who may have friends or family in the Philippines, especially that area of the Philippines, and want to share any news that you may be getting. I don't know if it's even possible with communications as down as they are there to crowdsource any information on this, but if any of you are in touch, 212-433-WNYC with anything you can tell us, 212-433-9692. And even if you just want to make expressions of sympathy or tell people how you think our listeners can help with the early stages of the relief effort, if you have connections to the Philippines, 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. And Holly, I guess we should point out that there are few official measurements coming out of the Philippines right now, so most numbers come with lots of qualifications. But what are you hearing from CARE's people on the ground in terms of the destruction?
Thanks, Brian. Yes, that's absolutely correct. So not to get too caught up in exact numbers because they do keep changing, but obviously one of the most powerful storms that's ever been recorded. And as you say, with winds of up to 170 miles an hour and waves of up to even 45 feet in some areas.
Wow. Which would be many times the Sandy storm surge, just to put this in a little bit of perspective for people in our listening area who could hardly imagine such a thing.
Right. And the numbers right now suggest an estimated 9.5 million people have been affected. But again, that number can change very significantly because this typhoon struck through a very wide swath of the Philippines, and it's very remote areas, so very difficult to reach in the best of times. To put it into perspective, that 9.5 million, that would be similar to the states of Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts combined. So just to give it a bit of perspective for our listeners.
Incredible. So what are you doing to help, and what can our listeners do?
So in emergencies like this, clean water, food, and shelter are crucial. CARE is planning to focus on these needs, really the essentials in our initial plan to reach out to at least 150,000 people. We're moving key personnel into place to coordinate the response, and we're working with partners on the ground who we have long experience with in both emergency response as well as disaster preparedness. If people want to help, they can certainly go to www.care.org to support our response. I think one of the real challenges that we're having, and so I don't want to actually sugarcoat it, is that it's really difficult right now to actually reach the affected areas. The government of the Philippines has done a fabulous job. They've a lot of coordination went into place beforehand to evacuate as many people as possible. CARE and its partners worked to support that effort, and that's what's happening now. And in terms of coordination, trying to really ensure we coordinate the accessing these people who need really life-saving support right now. Imagine it's been now 3 days and many people have not had food or water. They're drinking water out of open pipes. Our staff in the field are reporting that everything is destroyed where they're at. They're in a place now called Ormoc. It's we're focusing in the Leyte province, in Leyte Island. And Basically, what they're saying is everything is just in rubble. Pieces of house are lying in the street. Electric poles have been broken like toothpicks. People are already, you know, people are trying their best to salvage, cutting down trees, trying to do what they can to make temporary shelter for themselves and their families as much as possible, but very, very difficult. The entire coastline is just absolutely decimated.
I want to play a clip since, of course, this storm surge was one of the biggest ever seen, as we've been discussing. So naturally, climate change also comes to our minds. Obviously, the relief effort, no matter what the underlying causes of anything, needs to be front and center. The relief effort needs to be front and center right now. But we also were familiar with this clip of the Filipino negotiator speaking last year after another typhoon hit his country to the delegates at Doha negotiating climate policy. So very relevant, the Philippine negotiator in Doha last year.
I'm making an urgent appeal, not as a negotiator, not as a leader of my delegation, but as a Filipino. I appeal to the whole world. I appeal to the leaders from all over the world to open our eyes to the stark reality that we face. I appeal to ministers. The outcome of our work is not about what our political masters want. It is about what is demanded of us by 7 billion people. I appeal to all, please, no more delays, no more excuses. Please let Doha be remembered as the place where we found the political will to turn things around. And let 2012 be remembered as the year the world found the courage to do so.
That was Nadarev Sanyo, the Filipino negotiator at the Doha Climate Change Conference last year after another powerful typhoon, which did not make the news in this country as much as the one over the weekend is making the news, had hit. And Holly Solberg from CARE International, you can hear the emotion in his voice. And the Philippines get hit by something like 20 typhoons a year. But I guess this is one of the countries that feels most personally at risk from global warming.
Yes, I think that was actually quite heartbreaking. Unfortunately, people living in more impoverished countries, and such as the Philippines, have done the least to cause climate change. Yet in countries where CARE works, such as in the Philippines, the poorest people are bearing the brunt of climate change impacts. So I think we definitely have a responsibility to do all we can to not undermine people's development processes and really support them to in our own behavior, in fact, as well, to try to change what we can.
April in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, April.
Hi, Brian. I just wanted to, I guess, share a story. I have some family that are from Ormuz City, which is very close to Tacloban, which is where the epicenter of the storm was. The best way that my family was able to keep in touch, we haven't heard much word from them in Ormuz City, but we had a cousin who was in Cebu, which is about a ferry ride away. And Facebook has actually been really instrumental in trying to keep people connected. And we found out that she was able to at least, or she's trying to get a lot of food together to bring over on the ferry once they get the ferry started again and bring it over to my family that's still there. And I don't know how this is possible, but she was able to obtain an aerial photo of my family's compound that's there. I was born in Virginia, but both my parents are from the Philippines, and my mother has most of her, you know, sisters and brothers still there, and their family compound, which is like maybe three houses together. They show that like one of the houses' roof is completely blown off, and thankfully, as far as we know, the family themselves are okay. But now that my cousin's trying to bring food back to them, she kind of puts herself at risk, because when things get really desperate, you know, like people might want to, I don't know, do something to her to get the food. So we're hoping to hear back from her and make sure she gets there safe.
Yeah, and Holly, in fact, there were reports of people, I don't know what the right word is, attacking or looting. I don't know that any of these words are right, but people who are coming in with some food relief. But my goodness, if there's no food, then in an emergency situation, people are going to storm the food delivery when they see something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there are reports of looting, and I would just say that people are really desperate that they've gone without food for 3 days. They have nothing, and this is why it's so critical to get food and supplies into people as soon as possible.
April, good luck to you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for making some sort of word about it.
Thank you for checking in. And where do you start when communications are down and the airport and roads are damaged and it's hard to know which hungry people need food more than other hungry people? At an organization like CARE, how do you even know where to start?
Well, CARE International has staff who are working in the Philippines. We have staff, Philippine staff and partners who are assessing the situation. We sent in additional staff support, including our deputy director here in Atlanta, set people in prior to the storm hitting as well, to basically pre-position. We know essentially what the basics, you know, the life-saving needs are going to be. Obviously, to the extent possible, you pre-position when you can. In a case like this, this was quite difficult. Our team has made its way to Cebu. All of the airports in Leyte province they're not functioning. So Cebu is now more or less, it's another island to the west, and that is basically being used as a hub where then either supplies will be ferried in or perhaps through private aircraft. And the government, there's a coordination effort, very strong coordination efforts underway with the government, with the United Nations, with other organizations like CARE to make sure that we are coordinating and sharing assessment information as well as when we find it. But again, not to underestimate the gravity of how difficult it is to access people.
And the U.S. Defense Department also sending in people and supplies. So for individuals who want to help, should they just pick their favorite relief organization? Maybe it's yours. Maybe it's Oxfam, who we heard, Save the Children, who we heard somebody interviewed from on Morning Edition today, or the International Committee of the Red Cross. Or are there other more specific things that people can do? I heard a report of one area where there were a lot of Filipino Americans bringing canned goods, bringing clothing. And I thought, really? Does that actually help? Are they going to fly those things over from here to the Philippines? So does that help?
The best thing that people can do in the United States right now is donate to an organization like CARE or another organization who is doing good work in the Philippines. I think what we need to be careful about is, I mean, the first responders are those who actually are in the Philippines there, the neighbors, similar to what the woman was just explaining before. If they can reach their neighbor and share their food and provide shelter, that's number one, and obviously the government has done a great job and those who are on the ground. But right now, we also need to be very careful about making sure that the logistics and everything is coordinated very well so that we don't, in fact, add to a bit of the chaos, which could ensue if, you know, and it's really wonderful that people are so generous and want to give. We just have to think about what's the most effective way when, let's say, a suitcase of canned goods arrives at the port. Who's going to actually receive that? Yes. And the airports aren't even functioning. So I would just say keep that in mind.
Typhoon Haiyan, one of the most powerful weather systems of any kind ever to be measured. Holly Solberg, CARE's Director of Emergencies, helping with the initial relief effort in the Philippines. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.